Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey everyone, it's Billy Morrison and Ozzy Osbourne here. Our new show, The Madhouse Chronicles, is dropping this April. Join us as we watch and react to the maddest internet clips. What do we discuss, Ozzy?
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, all that kind of shit.
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, and all that kinds of shit. Visit osbournemediahouse.com for early access. What do you say? Do you think it's the wildest show on the internet?
Oh.
You're in the madhouse now.
The Homance Chronicles.
The female equivalent of a bromance.
So many poor choices.
But so many good takes.
But so many poor choices. Nothing is going. This is Sarah.
This is the Homance Chronicles. First of all. And I'm Nicole. Honestly, I swear, every fucking time.
I thought
we're just gonna start the show with just saying hi.
Yeah, okay, that's cool.
Hi, hello.
Hello, hey. what day is it? Who am I? Yeah, this is all my Chronicles, and that's Nicole. I'm Sarah.
Yep, and I've got animal guest Emma rolling around in the background, so I'm not sure how long she'll stay quiet for. Of course, I've been working diligently for hours up until this point, and she's been all right, but anytime we start to record,
anytime you
unleash the beast.
Yeah, anytime you have to say anything to anybody, like,
yes,
in the morning, the house is perfectly calm, quiet, doing my thing. In the first meeting of the day, one of the dogs needs something. Something is going down with the cats, and the birds decide it's time to sing. Like, why?
I don't know. I mean, Emma is still kind of new to my schedule and everything, but in general, we've been doing the whole work from home thing for, you know, about three years now.
Well,
so
better part, almost 4 years.
Yeah, so, you know, you'd think that the animals would figure it out.
No, not mine. None of mine. They all have the audacity. I don't know where it came from, but they found it.
Well, I will, I guess, let go of the fact that we did not have a smooth intro today, because both of us were in panic mode when we started recording, because you had shoddy internet and I had a full storage situation, and despite the fact that this time I thought it was a win because my mic connected immediately, I didn't have to restart three times. No. Mm-mm.
Called balance, sweetie. I'm sorry, I know that there's another foot coming at some point to drop. It doesn't matter anymore. Nothing is easy. Nothing will ever be easy ever again.
Well, and I, you know, I bought a new computer.
Right.
I've migrated my things. I've logged into all my things. The problem is, though, that my mouse hasn't come yet. Or not my mouse, but like my USB dongle thing hasn't come yet. Because the mice that I have USBs, and I didn't want to buy a new one with Bluetooth. So.
The mice?
Yes.
Wait. So you purchased a USB-C to USB so that you could use a mouse. Mm-hmm. How much did that cost you?
Well, I had a gift card from Apple. So the dongle itself was like $19, which I could use for many other things. However, if I'm going to use the Apple gift card for a wireless mouse, the wireless mouse was like hella expensive.
Oh, yeah. They're not cheap through Apple.
Right. So I was like, well, I have multiple mice.
I have a lot of mices.
I have multiple mouses. So I was like, well, might as well go a more practical route and get a USB dongle thing that I can use for multiple things. Huh?
That's so funny to me.
Well, because I was trying to use my gift card instead of, you know.
Not.
Yes.
Yeah, I get that.
So anyway, my dongle is on the way.
Great. So
in the meantime, I'm still on the old computer.
Oh my gosh.
And then next week, there's going to be some story about the new computer.
Doesn't your laptop have a trackpad on it?
Yeah.
Okay, just making sure.
Yeah. But if I'm going to read the story, I like to have my roller on my mouse.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. I was just assessing that on my own. I didn't, you know. That's the conclusion I came to. It was a creature comfort situation at this point.
Oh, 100%. Yes, it is. Because I got
what you know, bitches. Go with what you know.
I gotta have my middle roller on my mouse to scroll through my story.
I get it. I don't, but I do. In this context, I use my fingers on my trackpad. But yes, I do understand where you're coming from.
Yeah.
In a larger sense of creature needs.
Yep. So anyway.
Which is how I started signing off on my emails for the month of December.
Is what?
Anyway, ...
Oh, really?
Nobody has said anything yet. We're waiting.
Okay. All right. Well, is your name under it or is it just so it just says anyway, and then you fill in the blank with your own thoughts.
I was just like,
whoever receives the email.
Instead of like, you know, thanks, Sarah, I just wrote anyway, ...
No one's commented.
Not yet. No.
Man, they're not a fun bunch.
Well, I mean, I don't think people have noticed it just yet, in all fairness.
Okay. What were we talking? Oh, our whole of history.
Yeah,
the whole reason we're here.
Well, I think it's your turn, right?
It is.
I can't do the intros. No cold spaces on why we talked.
So I was at the pharmacy, and I texted you a picture of this book that I found,
which you purchased.
Here's said book.
Wild Women of Michigan. I'm so excited you bought
that. The Wild Women of Michigan, A History of Spunk and Tenacity. That's the literal title. By Miss Norma Lewis. So I'm going to guess that Miss Norma Lewis lived in Grand Rapids because a good amount of the stories come from the Grand Rapids Library.
Okay.
Or I guess I should say supplementing information. So when I was deciding who to do our story on today, I actually picked a woman from Grand Rapids. And you're probably more familiar with this than I am because you actually lived there.
Yeah.
So you might be a little bit more... or maybe a little less surprised.
Okay.
By the information.
All right.
Now, I should clarify that Grand Rapids and Detroit are what? 2 hours?
Two and a half, roughly, depending on traffic. And they're sister cities. So, although geographically Detroit is bigger than Grand Rapids, Grand Rapids has more people in it currently, I think. I think it's the largest population in the state right now.
Is it?
Yes, I do believe so.
Okay. And then Grand Rapids is also like, I don't know, probably hour and a half from Lansing. So it's more middle of the state. And it's a little bit of like a Bible Belt area.
Mm-hmm.
Sarah went to school out there. I have only been to Grand Rapids, I don't know, less than a handful of times in my whole life.
And it was therefore, with me mostly.
Huh? Yes. Therefore, I was not aware.
Oh, man.
The connection.
I lied so hard.
I was going to say, there's no way Grand Rapids has more people.
Well, Detroit is 3 times the land size of Grand Rapids, and that means 3 times the population.
Somebody right now is like screaming at you.
Yeah.
Like, you're wrong.
You're an idiot by a lot. I'm an idiot by a lot.
I'm like, there's no way.
But population of Grand Detroit currently, from what the Google machine has, is 620. And then Grand Rapids is 196. However, that is based on census. I don't know when that data was collected.
But still. I was even picturing Grand Rapids. I'm like, I can't even handle the same amount of people as Detroit. There's no way.
Yep, I was super duper wrong. My bad.
Because to me, Grand Rapids is kind of like a small, it's pretty small. Like, as far as cities go, it's pretty small. So anyway, our hoe of history today is Anna Sutherland Bissell.
Oh, the Bissells.
The Bissells.
Ironically, I went to product design school, so I know quite a bit about Bissell.
Is it? I think that's more of a coincidence, not ironic.
Yes, you are correct. I'm just piss striking out today. I'm just going to shut up now. Read to me, woman.
I will do so.
Nothing I said was accurate so far. I even fucked up the intro.
Yeah. Let me just get rolling. Okay. So Bissell, which may be familiar to most people as vacuum company or a vacuum cleaner or, you know.
A brand of vacuums, yeah.
Brand of household cleaners. And Miss Anna was a Canadian-American businesswoman, and she was the first female CEO in the United States.
Well, shit. There's that.
Yes.
Feather exactly. In our cap for corporate America.
So Anna Sutherland Bissell, who was obviously born Anna Sutherland, but everywhere that I looked to get information had both last names, so I'm including them because maybe that was a preference.
Maybe.
She was born on December 2nd, 1846. So she actually would have just celebrated a birthday if she
was here. Happy belated lady.
And she was born in the fishing village of St. John, Nova Scotia.
Nova Scotia.
Yep.
Which is in Canada.
I also saw it as River John. Okay. Anyway, so they were in Canada. Her and her family moved to DuPere, Wisconsin.
Okay.
So they came to America, you know, searching for the American dream, wanting a better future. And that means Anna was actually educated in the United States. So she finished her academic training at 16 years old and then became a teacher immediately. So at 16... she's teaching
what?
Doing her thing. I don't know.
Like generic studies?
I don't know. I mean, she could have been even teaching kids how to read or who knows what.
All right.
I don't know.
I can get down with that.
There actually wasn't a lot of details about her life. And to be honest with you, I went to the Bissell website and they had the least amount of information. And I was
shocked.
I was like, you guys need to do better.
Yeah, well, that whole area is still a little bit behind the times on social hierarchy. So I'm not surprised by that at all.
considering how this story goes, you'd think that they would have had way more information about her on their website. So 3 years later, she's 19 and she marries Melville Bissell. So he's a young porcelain trader and soon and then becomes an inventor.
Melville.
Yep. They move from Wisconsin to Kalamazoo, Michigan. Now, for non-Michigan people, yes, Kalamazoo is a real place.
Name.
And it is on the west side of the state. Like
Western Michigan is there.
Western Michigan University. Yes. Yep. And it's closer to Lake Michigan.
So if you put your right hand up.
Right. Yes. It's down in the bottom left corner.
Of your palm.
Of your palm. So from the beginning of their marriage, she was immediately a joint partner in their crockery and china business, which crockery.
I was going to say, lay it on them.
Which I'm thinking like Betty Crocker, crock pot. So apparently, according to dictionary.com, crockery means plates, dishes, cups, and other similar items. Things that are made of earthenware or china.
Huh. So like any sort of utensil that you would use for food.
Well, no, it doesn't mean silverware because that's silver. So it's more like place settings. Things that would be made out of china or pottery.
Okay. I'm in it. I'm with it.
So,
crockery.
Crockery. But I mean,
crockerist.
We're talking 1800s, and she actually was a joint partner in this business,
which is remarkable in and of itself.
Yep. Like, so from the time they got married, she was joint partner.
Clearly, Mr. Bissell, Melville over there, mm-hmm. he was with it, and mm-hmm. he loved her.
And then by 1871, Anna's around 25 years old, and her and Melville decide to move to Grand Rapids to seek out bigger and better business opportunities.
Yay, yay. Man, that's so strange. Grand Rapids has a giant river running through it, thus Grand Rapids. So I'm curious how, like, that, excuse me, economy grew after the river was no longer serving its purpose. Sounds about right.
Yeah. I don't know. I didn't get into that.
No, I know that part. Not looking for answers.
But, you know, well, I mean, there was something that prompted them to move to Grand Rapids.
Yeah.
So it must have been more of a bustling area.
Right.
They also, at some point throughout this, had five kids. So.
Once
so they've got their crockery shop and they're moving and they're popping out kids one after another.
So one stat I do know about Grand Rapids that is true is that it's like the kind of like the birthplace, not in the States, of furniture design.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that was kind of the scheme, was housewares, home goods, that kind of stuff. And then Detroit was the motor city.
Mm-hmm. I can see that connection for sure.
Yeah.
I do talk about it being like furniture city.
Yeah.
Like
steel cases over there. A lot of different furniture companies are over there still. Like Bissell's over there.
Yeah.
That makes sense. All right.
Yeah.
Sorry, continue. Sarah's world.
So then in 1876, Anna's now about 30 years old. And she's a staple at the crockery. She is trying to keep the place clean, but it's a never-ending task because as the chinaware comes in large cases, it's all packed up and got probably, you know, something similar to the peanut stuff that just gets all over the place. And
oh, yeah.
Mayhem. If it's earthenware, it's going to be dusty. And so every time they unpacked a case of dishes, it would be a nightmare trying to get it cleaned up.
An elaborate process.
And so it was so bad, so much so that like Melville would have allergy attacks. Like he just basically would like nonstop sneezing when he'd open up a case of dishes.
The dishes are here.
So back in this day and age, all they had were brooms. So they try to keep up with the dust with brooms, but brooms just kind of move stuff around.
Right.
They don't
it's
really
just like a bigger
clean
duster.
It up. And so homes started getting like bigger around this time as well. And then you introduce carpeting. So carpeting became popular in middle class and upper middle class homes in the latter part of the 19th century. So you've got we're in the late 1800s. You've got all these different things going on with cleanliness or lack thereof. And
coming to terms with it.
Yeah. I mean, it was even like, so I don't know why carpeting got so popular, because it would get full of dust and debris, and obviously a brush or like any kind of broom is not going to be effective. So they pretty much would just sweep shit everywhere. Like deep cleaning a carpet was like the most time consuming thing. Like they had to literally remove the carpets out of the house, like a rug, and beat
them.
Oh
yeah. Yeah. They would have the special tools to beat them too.
Yeah. So okay. Like your whole carpet would go outside and you'd have to beat it.
Oh my gosh, that's right. So,
or just replace it, because you know, who's got time
for having pets? No, thank you. So yeah, Grand Rapids in 1876 was launched as the Furniture City. So that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes. So Melville took on the challenge of trying to figure out what to do with this dust and make his wife happy. So he created a rotating brush that swept up the dust into an attached container.
Oh, like the restaurant ones.
Probably, yeah. I mean, it was the first known carpet sweeper.
Man, that's crazy.
Yeah.
I did not know this.
Yeah, so Anna tested it out, and then together they patented it. I'm telling you, Anna's like got a good one here with Melville.
No kidding. No freaking kidding. He was like, hey, babe, since you're primarily going to be doing this, is this working out for you? What a nice guy. Just kidding. That's probably not how it was, but maybe it was a little bit. We don't know.
So they patent it and they start selling it immediately. Anna becomes the like number one salesperson of this.
Of course. So there's only two people selling it. Actually, she's the only one. Her husband's probably sitting there trying to figure out how to make it better.
Well, technically, they would sell it together, but she seemed to be better at selling it because she was able to convince one of America's first department stores, Wanamaker's, to carry the product.
Dang.
So it became an instant hit. And women during this time coined the term bistling the floors.
Oh, look at that.
Even Queen Victoria was said to insist that her floors be regularly bistled.
Could you imagine if your last name became a fucking verb? They just got Bonneville.
Yeah, right?
Could you Edonian these for me? What does it even mean?
I don't know, but these people were getting bistled. And so Anna and Melville, they're a team now. They're traveling around to sell their product to retailers. They'd each take a side of the street. And so they'd just work each store along the street. And they'd sell their carpet sweepers for $1.50 each.
Oh, my God.
Which, in today's money, is approximately $30.
Oh, my God.
So when they made that deal at Wanamaker's, like they bought basically a sample and then they put in an order for like 10 more or something. So like cha-ching for them is like, you know, because they're selling them at like $30 a pop, technically $1.50, but you know what I mean? Like they weren't trying to sell just one. They wanted to sell a whole stock of them, obviously.
A volume.
And so Anna was involved in the entire process, the manufacturing, shipping, customer care, after sales services, all of it. Like, she had her hands in all of it.
Oh, yeah.
And then the sweeper became so popular that they didn't have to keep doing the crockery business. So they focused on just producing the sweepers in bulk. And then in the early 1880s is when Melville and Anna built the Bissell factory. So by 1883, the Bissell Company was officially founded.
Wow. That is incredible.
Yeah. So the first factory was built in Grand Rapids. However,
the more you know.
However,
vacuums were invented in Michigan. Who fucking knew?
I didn't. I thought you'd know this.
Uh-uh. I was a product designer, not a furniture designer.
seems to be so much love, though, for the Bissell family.
Yes. And ironically enough, one of my professors was employed at Bissell at the time.
That's why I felt like you should have, like, I don't know. I just was like.
You would think they would tell us these things, but they don't, you know.
I don't know. So anyway, in 1844, it was not that long after they actually opened the factory. It was completely gutted by a fire. And they basically had to start over. So at this point now, Anna is the one who's like going to the large banks, asking for loans. They needed to do total repair of the whole carpet sweeper plant. Thankfully, because of her reputation and her booming business, meaning like that there was plenty of glowing references in stores who said like they would still be buying them, the factory was able to get up and running again, and she was able to actually get the funding.
Fuck yeah.
And so then 5 years after restarting the company, Melville died. He was only 46.
Oh no.
Yeah, so she gets it all rerunning again, and then in 1889, Melville passes away from pneumonia. I know. They were such a good team.
I'm heartbroken. I assume she never remarried. Or never even have another love. She's all set. She never has another love interest. There's no way.
Well, there's definitely nothing about it anywhere. Like I said, there weren't a lot of details about her life anyway. But no, she definitely did not get remarried. Anyway. So then... that's when she took over the company, you know, as chief executive officer.
Right.
And that's when she became the first woman in the U.S. to head a registered company as its CEO.
Wow. Wow.
1889.
Ugh.
So she devises a plan to maintain both the chinaware and the carpet cleaners within the Bissell company while raising 5 children on her own.
Oh, my God.
Yes. So she immediately establishes new guidelines on trademarks and patents and moved Bissell carpet sweepers into the international market. She also instituted new like marketing guidelines as well to help with generating sales based on her experience of like literally going door to door.
Oh, interesting. So she kind of created like a marketing model too.
Mm-hmm. And then by 1899, she had created the largest largest organization of its kind in the world, like international business, because they had a branch office in New York. They had factories in London, Paris, and Toronto.
Whoa.
And they had offices in 22 foreign countries. The company exported products to Latin America and Europe. And she remained the president of the company for 20 years, from 1899 to 1919.
That is a bad bitch right there. That's what I'm talking
Melville
about.
Melville just had to get out of the way for her to take this thing international.
God, clearly. She's like, now that's all done. I could just actually see her being like, this is for you.
Right? I know. So as president of the corporation and chairman of the board, Anna introduced progressive labor policies into workmen's compensation and pension, so retirement plans.
Of course she did. Of course she did. She brought empathy to it all.
Yes. So this was like long before any of these practices were widespread in the industry. She created fixed working hours and annual leaves for the workers, so like vacation time.
Oh my God.
She had gained the reputation of a motherly figure.
So what I'm hearing is Henry Ford set up the 5-day work week and Anna Bissell set up the empathetic side of, okay, you get vacation time. You can take time off if you need to. It's going to be okay. Like, wow.
Well, and like I said, the fixed working hours too, like you weren't just assumed to be there from sun up to sundown. So yes, all of these like benefits and her personal touch kind of generated this working environment that created lasting loyalty, you know, amongst the workers.
Yeah, I bet
to the company.
I bet everybody loved working for her. Everybody. Like getting a job at Bissell was the thing to do.
Right. So all of these perks and progressive ideas prevented men from balking at the idea of working for a woman.
There you go. There's another way for her to benefit from this.
So, because at the time, it wasn't common for men to work for women.
No, I imagine it was really difficult to get people to work for her, even though she was doing all of this awesome shit for her workers.
Yeah, she was the first person to institute a policy that if somebody got hurt on the job, they would get covered.
Oh my God, are you serious?
Yes.
This woman is a queen. Why do we not all know of her?
I don't know, because out of all of the information that I found, their biggest chunks were about the workman's comp.
I'm blown away by this. How is this just not common knowledge? Like, these are the things I wanted to learn in school. These were the things we needed to learn in school.
Shit, we needed to learn what workman's comp actually is before.
Exactly.
You get to your first job and they're like, sign here, and you're like, sign your life away.
Oh God, it's not, you're not wrong.
So during this time, Grand Rapids was known as Furniture City. Whee! Which you had mentioned.
I did.
So there were actually plenty of jobs for the men to choose from. So like, they didn't have to work for a woman. They could, there was plenty of options, but basically it would have been dumb for them to choose not to.
Right. She made it like such a good deal.
So Anna basically becomes the pinnacle of benchmarking in the industry to her peers.
Right. I mean, sounds about right.
So she didn't have a lot of formal education, but she had a business mind and an entrepreneurial spirit. And she was like, we're going to do this. It says that she studied business the way other women of her time studied French. She kept pace with the growing complexities of industrialism and knew every facet of the Bissell operation.
She's a queen. She's iconic. These are the people that we should be celebrating.
I know. And then on top of it, she was an extreme philanthropist. Extreme.
Color me shocked after you're telling me she's doing all these things for the people that work for her.
So she felt that privilege came with responsibility to serve the community.
Oh, and round of applause, ma'am. Round of applause. Yes.
And she was so grief-stricken by her husband passing that it made her feel good to do things for other people.
Yeah.
I mean, so yeah. She founded the Bissell House. It's a facility that provides job training and a social outlet for immigrant women, along with recreation and support for underprivileged children. She was a charter member of the Ladies Literary Club of Grand Rapids. She's a life member of the Women's City Club and an active member of Zonta. She served on the board of the Clark Memorial Home and was for years the sole female member of the National Hardware Men's Association.
Oh,
They asked her to join. Yes. She served as a member of the Methodist Episcopal Church board member.
Episcopal?
Episcopal? Episcopal? Anyway. Oh, she was a board member of the Blodgett Children's Home and Memorial Medical Center. She was very focused on children and their health and well-being.
She had five.
So Miss Anna Sutherland Bissell died on November 8th, 1934 in Grand Rapids, Michigan. She's buried at Oak Hill Cemetery. And she outlived her husband by 45 years.
Oh my goodness.
And then until her death, she remained the chair of the company's board.
You're shitting me.
No.
I will not have any haberdashery in here. No, that's not that's not correct. But you know what I mean.
At her death, she was acclaimed as, quote, a successful businesswoman in an era when business was almost wholly a masculine field.
Yeah.
And newspapers said she was, quote, a business executive without peer, a respected and beloved philanthropist, and a true matriarch in her family. So she was honored by the Grand Rapids community with a 7-foot bronze statue.
Yep.
In July. Huh?
Where is it at?
It's in front of DeVos Place.
Yep.
So
I passed it regularly then.
Well, I saw some dates saying 2016 and some dates saying 2006. So I'm not sure which is correct.
2006.
So the commemorative statue is located where she and her husband built the first factory in the 1800s. And so it's in Grand Rapids outside of the DeVos Place Grand Gallery.
Mm-hmm.
So Anna's home in Grand Rapids, Michigan is known as the Bissell House. That no longer exists. However, its location is currently bought and occupied by NBC television affiliate station Wood TV. So
really
WOOD TV is in that location.
Yep.
She was inducted into the Michigan Women's Hall of Fame in 1989. And today, the company is ran by her great-grandson, Mark Bissell. And based on sales, Bissell Inc. is the biggest brand in floor care appliances, holding about 20% of the North American market share. Bissell Inc.'s net worth is estimated around $800 million.
Hell yes.
So as I mentioned, I got information and the spark to tell this story from the book Wild Women of Michigan, A History of Spunk and Tenacity by Norma Lewis. I also
Norma.
I know. I feel like we need to have Norma on.
We should just send her a text. Hey, boo. Hey.
I went to Bissell.com.
On that basis with her, we're not.
Wikipedia.org, Greater Grand Rapids Women's History Council. .org, MichiganWomenForward.org, AI-Bees.io, and SunSigns.org, actually.
Oh, nice.
I know. It was kind of a weird, eclectic mix of things because I couldn't find a lot of information. And then when I was finding information, sometimes it was like I said, it was like 2006 here, 2016 there, or maybe there were two different ones. I don't know, but yeah.
I have a feeling that her family probably scrubbed a little bit too. Jaffiel, because nobody's that squeaky clean. Nobody.
Sure. But remember when we did the story about the, what was her name? Barbara Handler? Or Hander or something like that for Barbie.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd think that all her stuff would be scrubbed too, because hers is like, whoa. And it wasn't.
No.
You know? Like, yeah. I still was able to find quite a bit of dirt on her. So, I don't know.
That was like later times though.
Right. So, I'm thinking it's more because of the fact that she passed away in 1934.
Right. Yeah, they've had time to burn things.
Well, or it just wasn't recorded as they well. You know, there wasn't as good of notes taken.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the only thing that I found, which I didn't even include in here, is that, you know, she was kind of a ruthless leader of sorts sometimes. But
I feel like
that's any CEO who's trying to expand their company. I don't know. Exactly. It wasn't highlighted much. So I was just like, well, sounds like probably a woman acting like a man because she's, the first one to do it.
Yep. She's gotta. Yeah. I don't know. Either way, I'm familiar, but not that familiar. So thank you for sharing this story.
You're welcome. I honestly was like, how, especially if the statue went up in 2006, there's a giant bronze statue.
It says 2016 on this article I'm looking at, which sounds like it could be right, but where it's at, I know exactly where that's at. So either there was something else there at one point and I'm just replacing it in my head.
But like from 2016, then I could understand, because like you only go back to visit for a purpose. You're not necessarily like walking back around campus and stuff or around the city. So but still, this is like a major manufacturing facility and major family name, and you lived there for years. So I just assumed that you would fill in gaps in my story for me.
No, I like, so from my experience, I was there, but again in the product design world. So the furniture side, I'm using air quotes, of the design wasn't necessarily like, they didn't cross-pollinate a lot. So there was a lot of information about it, but it just like wasn't shared.
So, I guess I wasn't thinking from that perspective. I'm just thinking that them as a family name.
Oh yeah, no, it's, well, that's the thing, like Grand Rapids actually has a deep, deep history like this, where a lot of people came. Like, it's strange because like the furniture industry has so many big names in it. Like if you look at Steelcase, if you look at all the others that are rattling around in my head, but I just can't recall them. Like, there's a lot of people who came and went from Grand Rapids to like Europe. So it's got this like deep, rich history with all these names. Like, I cannot for the life of me remember any names right now.
I mean, I also mentioned the DeVos Place Grand Gallery. And for those who don't know, former U.S. Secretary of Education Betsy DeVos is a family lineage.
Slow blinking.
Yeah, to the DeVos family.
They're like the Murdaughs of Grand Rapids. They fucking own everything, including the city itself. It's kind of, it's ignorant. I'm not even going to say mildly. It's just ignorant how much influence they have over that city still. It's sad.
Yeah. Yeah. So in case some people picked up on the DeVos, they're like, I'm sure I've heard that before. Yes, you have.
Yes. Betsy. Good old Betsy.
Good old Bets. When she was working with Trump and making
really
silly
poor decisions. Really poor ones. They weren't silly. They were poor, poor, poor decisions. Poor, poor,
yeah.
Poor.
Yeah.
Awful, terrible, shouldn't have been given that role. We don't know how she made it there. Poor. Oh, wait, I do. Money.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Connections, money, all that. Yeah.
It's money.
Mm-hmm.
They have so much of it. It's scary. They're probably listening right now.
They're like Alexa.
Yeah.
Just looming over us.
Hello.
Oh, man.
Well, thank you for sharing again.
You're welcome.
And while you were sharing, I was looking up pictures of her, and she's studiously posted up with one of her floor sweepers. And I love that so much.
I actually think I saw a picture of Melville, and I was like, when he was younger, and I was like, oh, he ain't bad.
Oh, they were all right. Some of them are okay. Shit.
Maybe it was all the positive vibes of him, like actually including his wife in decisions and businesses and things. But
that's my assumption.
He also, though, I thought, I perused a few different story options, and I was reading through this whole book, so I could be getting my pictures confused. But
yeah, I
think I saw a picture of Melville and was like, oh.
Well, also, the lack of clarity in photos also helps everybody's case.
Mm. It's the old timey filter. It's just bad quality.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I kind of wish that all the mirrors in my house had that old timey filter. So I was like, hey girl, you look great. And like everybody else's vision was also old timey filters. So that'd be, I don't know.
We'd all be grainy.
Alas.
Well, I think it's Attagirl time.
It is. Do you have one?
I mean, it's kind of a failed Attagirl in a way.
Oh.
I had an attempted Attagirl. So I went through my closets and drawers and pulled out a bunch of clothes that don't fit me right anymore. I got some of them, like the seasonally appropriate ones, uploaded to Poshmark and Facebook Marketplace. Out of the like 20 to 25 things that I have listed, I've only sold two. And I have them priced pretty low. So I'm just like, they're obviously not like the best pictures. Like I could probably put them on, maybe. I don't know. Then it's turning into a whole job. Anyway.
Yeah, that's why I never got into it, because it's like too much. You need a mannequin to put the things on so people can see it. And it's like, I am not doing this. No. Just take it to Plato's closet or one of those other places.
Well, so then I went to the place that I normally go to that is Plato's closet, but for a little bit older.
Yeah.
And more for like women than juniors, but it's a half an hour away.
Yes. And you have to have an appointment.
Well, so you didn't used to have to have an appointment.
Oh, I know. I know what you're talking about. I already went through all this. I was like, you've got to be kidding me. So I have bags of clothing still on my basement floor right next to me. I can look at them right now.
So well, I have my tub full, mm-hmm. right? So last time I went there, which was not that long ago, within the last year, took the tub in, easy peasy. It was done in like 10 minutes, like no big deal. Well, now the store owner is retiring, and they're like unclear, I guess, of what's going to happen with the store, maybe. So they don't want to take anything that's going to like potentially sit in inventory. So they're only taking things that are going to sell like immediately, like if it's North Face or Lululemon or something like that. And it has to be like seasonally appropriate and all that. Well, this has not been updated on their website.
No, they don't do any of those updates. Nobody tells you shit.
And then they also said that you have to have an appointment now. And they're like, we used to do walk-ins. And I was like,
since when? It's been over a year. When I moved in, absolutely not. They did not do walk-ins.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, so it says walk-ins on their website still.
Oh, I know.
And last time I went was within the last year. But anyway. So I attempted to sell my clothes because I do have some really good pieces that are like barely worn. I have one dress that has still the tags on it.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, that was a fail. So I drove all the way out there and all the way back for them to tell me, like, and it's my fault. Like I should have called ahead of time.
I'm sorry. If you're going to offer information, it needs to be up to date, because then people make the assumption that what you have on your site is what's really happening. So I would say it's you can split the fault if you want, but because that happened to me. I was like, oh, okay, cool. They accept walk-ins. Why would I have to call them if they accept walk-ins? I'll just walk
Well,
in.
because all the other places, like the Plato's Closets and Regeneration and all, like, you do have to make an appointment, and I know you do.
Oh, see, the Plato's? No, you can do walk-ins. That's all we do.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Maybe it's by location.
It has to be then. Because I was like, I was so blown away by all the things happening. There was a reason I couldn't stay at Plato's, and there was a, and I couldn't do anything with the place because I didn't have an appointment. So I was just like, I genuinely feel your pain. Because I just went through this a year ago. The amount of frustration I had, and I was like mid move too. So I like set time aside to go do this so I could offload the stuff so it wouldn't take up space so I could put more stuff in the basement. Nope.
The worst part though is that it's like some of it, fine, I can just donate. It's no big deal. But other stuff, I'm like, this is hella expensive.
Yeah, like I spent $400 on this. I'm not just gonna donate it.
So
I can go to OfferUp or somewhere else, you know.
Oh, ThreadUp, maybe.
There's that too, yeah. Well, good luck. And you tried. So atta girl for trying.
It took me a long time to do all the listings on Poshmark and Facebook Marketplace too.
Yeah, it's a job.
It took me quite some time.
That's why I understand for sure why my neighbor next door is like, that's her full-time job.
What we really need to do, which I've talked about this with some of our other friends, is have a collective garage sale or whatever sale. So that way we all bring our stuff to the one sale.
And it's all badass stuff. So we're all clearly going to make some cash. I'm into this.
And we have a full range of sizes.
Oh, yeah. Even better. Oh, God. All right. The Homance event coming 2024.
Well, and we had a guest on the show before who also,
Amanda.
Yes, who also hosts the swap events too. So
cool, but I want cash.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, if you bring stuff, you can then take stuff, but you don't get cash. No. And whatever people don't take gets donated. Yeah. But it's another option.
Which I love that she does that genuinely. And I know that there are people out there who are like, yeah, it's no big deal. But in my world, I spend a lot of energy, time, and effort getting these clothes, tailoring them. I want money for them.
Well, if you tailored them, then they're not going to fit the average person.
I know.
So you're going to sell something to somebody?
I'm not trying to sell shit. That's the thing. I'm not. I'm just saying I want. I'm not actively acting on it. I'm not trying to sell anything. It's just what I want. I'm not trying to do anything. I don't give a fuck anymore.
I'm like, you can't sell something that's tailored and tell somebody it's...
Just wait till it becomes vintage and then I'll sell it. It'll be fine. No, not tailored. Like, in a sense, like, not tailored. It is for me tailored. But at the same time, like, let's, as an example, the Ann Taylor Loft business suit coats that I have, they were all brought in, like, a female cut. Not specific to me, to my body, just the female cut was put in. Because otherwise I looked like a square. So. There's that. Anyway, so my atta girl. Yeah. I was very over my miles on my lease. I knew it was going to happen. Within 10 minutes of having the truck, I knew that it was going to happen. So, and it was, you know, a 4-year lease up next year. And I've started getting contacted by dealerships and anybody asking me to trade it in and, you know, what to do when you're over miles, yada, yada. And I'm like, you know what? I don't really have enough money to go all in on a new lease or put down payment for, you know, a new car and have those payments be more expensive. So let me see what it'll be to get in this bitch. So I contact the salesperson and they let me know that rates are so fucking high, even in the, in anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, rates are so high that the price of my vehicle hasn't changed, obviously, from what the estimated mileage would be. But the loan for the vehicle, the percentage is, the rate is so high. I'm paying, so my attic girl is, I bought my Jeep on Friday. Yay me. It's the first time I've ever purchased a car on my own.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Oh, well, they've all been leases or, like, you know, not new purchases or whatever. So, like, this is the first new to me vehicle that I've ended up buying and now I own solely the first time in my life. So anyway, Friday, the guy who was helping out, who's super duper super helpful, like super informative, not trying to be slimy in any way, shape or form, he was like, so just so you know, the more you wait, the more expensive your payments are going to be because you're over your miles. So if you wait longer, the more miles you have, the bank is going to expect a, either a higher down payment or they're not going to sell you the vehicle. And I was like, all right, that's fair. So I'm paying like $100 more a month. I put $2,000 down and my Jeep is several thousand dollars less than it was when I started leasing it. It's insane out here in these streets.
Mm.
There's no relief.
Mm-mm.
But I bought my Jeep. I'm going to start, you know, paying off that loan. And then it'll be mine forever and always.
When I was switching from lease to buy on my vehicle, which was not something I intended on doing either, I was researching like credit unions and other lenders to try to get the lowest rate I could get. And this was in 2022. Yeah. And my interest rate, I think, was like 5.5% or something.
Oh, geez. Yeah. I don't know what mine is. He went through all of his different lenders and found me the best one, the best rate for my exceptional credit score. So, I mean, my credit score is over 750.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost 800. And that was my rate. Still.
You didn't say your rate. You just said you didn't know.
Well, that was my offer was, you know, the $2,000 down and I still pay over $100 more a month than I do right now.
Mm.
Like, that was the best they could do.
Yeah. It's rough out here.
I know. So, go me for spending money I didn't want to spend. But at least I know it's mine. And I'm not going to get fucked over later.
Okay, well, banks. Good job making moves.
Thank
pulling
you,
the trigger.
You. It's awful, awful scary time. This is my burden now.
I'm like, I've bought anything. So many cars. It's so weird to me. That
no.
You...
Over the last year, I'm a changed woman. I own a house and a car. Prior to that, I just owned cats.
Oh, man.
Well,
thank you for listening today. If you liked what you heard, please rate, review, subscribe. It really helps us with the algorithms.
The algorithms.
I was having this discussion at Thanksgiving with my brother because he called it, I call it algorithm. He called it a logarithm or something.
And wrong I was emphasis like, on the wrong syllable, my guy.
I was like, what? It was a whole discussion. Like, I made them like Google the pronunciation and listen to it because I was not going down on that argument. But
oh,
now
man.
It's subconsciously fucking with me when I say it.
A logarithm?
A logarithm? Anyway.
Algorithm. I had to say it right.
I know. See? Now your tongue's messed up.
A logarithm takes me to a whole different dimension.
They were like hell bent on that you could say it either way. And
you
I'm
can't.
Like, no, I've never heard anybody ever. I work for a tech company.
Listen, bud, I work with AI. No.
I'm like, our whole company is coders. Like, no.
We track algorithms.
Anyway, man.
Rate, subscribe, review. What is it?
Do all the things. Give us a high five. Send us a note with a request for a hoe of history at homancepodcast@gmail.com. Follow us and comment with a hoe of history on Instagram at homance_chronicles. You can get your homance merch on my Etsy shop, NicoleBonneville.etsy.com. And you can participate in the closed group on Facebook, the Homance Chronicles, a judgment free zone that has nothing to do with hoes of history, unhinged. Just solely about hoes.
Severely unhinged, but we love it. Homance, huh?